Hello, good afternoon, Jared. How are you?
Good afternoon, Noel. Great
Okay,
to hear from you.
I have to say, congratulations on this. It's a great, innovative, wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, you have a website already, so it's stannswalk.com, and people have to book to do the walk.
That's right, yeah. stannswalk.com, and you can book online. You don't pay online, you just book a place and then pay on the day, or it's on Facebook, St. Anne's Walk Facebook page as well.
Okay, were you a frequent visitor to St. Anne's yourself, as I am?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Raheny, and almost 50 years ago, so I spent a lot of time on pitch 9 and 10 with Raheny GAA Club, and a lot of time on down the hills on my bike as a young kid. And then in the last 10 years, a lot of time pushing buggies around the park with my children and down in the playground. So, yeah, it's different phases of life. I've spent a lot of time in St. Anne's.
So not too, you didn't have to do too much research, did you?
Well, I did. I mean, you think you, well, you walk around the park, and I think, like most people, and I think it's probably fair to say that most people have done the tour, they actually don't really understand or know the history of the park. They know that it's a fantastic area, but I mean, just so much history, which I didn't know. It was about 10, 12 years ago, I picked up a book written by a lady called Joan Sharkey from Raheny Heritage Society called St. Anne's, and that got me really interested into the history of the park. And it was by reading that book that I kind of realized that there's a story to be told here, that people should really appreciate the history of St. Anne's Park.
Yeah, it's really, really wonderful. It's a great book, actually, and it gives you
It does,
all the
yeah.
history on all the things you should know. So you concentrate a little bit on the Guinness family and how it came to be St. Anne's, all that.
Yeah. So I mean, the tour, the walking tour, covers the period from 1835, when the Guinnesses came to live in St. Anne's Park, right up to when the house was, the ruins were removed in 1968. So what I cover is from 1835, when the Guinnesses came and acquired the house in St. Anne's Park, and their lifetime living there up to when Lord Ardilaun died in 1915, and then the Plunkett family thereafter. And we so basically, it's any of the Guinness family members who are working in the brewery and living in St. Anne's Park. And it's their love affair with Islay and the Bay of Naples, which they saw the view of Dublin Bay and the Great and the little cones of the Sugarloaf as the Bay of Naples. And they created all these follies around the park, which was very common for 19th century aristocrats to do, what they used to call the Grand Tour of Europe, visiting the continental ruins of Europe. And then they come back to their estates and replicate these romantic settings to illustrate their, their financial status, their knowledge and their education in society. They would have entertained in the great house, the big social occasions, and brought people on walks around what was then their own St. Anne's estate, showing them the follies that they had created and the knowledge that they had brought back from Europe. And it's all these things that have been left behind for us today, and that's what we cover on the walk, as well as the in-depth knowledge of who these people were.
Yeah, and you replicate all of that, and of course Queen Victoria was there in 1900 as well, so great history and all that attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, Queen Victoria was on one of our last state visits to Ireland in 1902, and she came out by horse and carriage along the Clontarf Road, entered the estate, was greeted by the Guinnesses for afternoon tea, and left along Main Avenue. So that'll just show you how important the family were. Actually, only yesterday was the birthday of Benjamin Lee Guinness and his son Arthur Edward Guinness, also known as Lord Ardilaun. And they were both born on the same day, on the 1st of November. And Benjamin Lee Guinness, when he died, was the wealthy. When he died in St. Anne's, was the wealthiest man in Ireland.
Wow.
He was Dublin's first Lord Mayor, and he was an elected Unionist and Conservative MP. So that's the caliber of the people who lived in St. Anne's estate during that period of time.
And the generosity, of course, as well. There's no doubt about it. The heritage that they've left to the country, especially to Dublin, is terrific, because it, I'm probably prejudiced, but I would look upon St. Anne's as the second. I'd put it first, but I mean, we have to be honest and say Phoenix Park could come down first as the biggest in Europe. But St. Anne's now, as a park and the history attached to it, would be up there among all parks, wouldn't it? Second, if not first.
Absolutely. I mean, Phoenix Park is huge. I think what's nice about St. Anne's Park is it's a very big park compared to some of the other parks in Dublin. But it's just, you know, the closeness to the UNESCO biosphere of North Bull Island and the nature reserve and the views out over Dublin Bay, it has everything. You know, you can go from the park to the beach. It has some beautiful walkways, you know, a massive playing field. There's something for everybody in St. Anne's Park.
Mm-hmm. And you include Bull Island, North Bull Island, in your tour as well.
Yeah, like North Bull Island, as it's properly known. I mean, North Bull Island was controlled by the Guinnesses. I mean, Lord Ardilaun or Arthur Edward Guinness controlled the leasehold on North Bull Island. It was taken off him during the First World War when the British Army commandeered it for practice for trench warfare. Mm-hmm. He gave Royal Dublin Golf Course a lease to play golf. Lady Olive was also involved in St. Anne's Golf Course in helping them. So, he controlled that land during that period of his life. So, and North Bull Island, you know, has its own fascinating story going back to 1802 when Captain William Bligh, fame of Mutiny on the Bounty, mm-hmm. was engaged by Dublin Ports to chart Dublin Bay, and he was instrumental in the creation of North Bull Island. So, you know, it's fascinating what's happening on our doorsteps.
And not people on. I mean, I was like yourself, Jared, I have to say. I mean, I used the park over the past 40 years or so, and the way it's developed as well is wonderful. But I didn't know the history. It's only when I was doing something for the radio here a couple of years ago, maybe 8 years ago, that I got talking to Mick Harford and doing some research, so I learned all the things that you're talking about now. And I think anyone from Dublin should know about St. Anne's Park, never mind people who live in the area, but I think everyone in Dublin should know about St. Anne's Park as well, should know the history.
Yeah, I mean, we have tourists coming from all over the world now, because the walk is also listed on Discover Ireland and Airbnb. This morning we had a couple of people in from Austria, we've had people in from Texas, Pennsylvania, San Francisco. And they're making decisions when they come to Dublin to come to St. Anne's Park, which is amazing. I mean, one of the other things, but now I won't go into the full detail of it, because I have to keep some of the information for the
tour. Yes, indeed, of course.
But, but you know, the influence of Brian Boru on Benjamin Lee Guinness was instrumental in Guinness's. And there's a great story in there as well, on the Battle of Clontarf in 1014.
Okay, now you run an animation company, and this is not a commercial venture for you at all. It's just a love of the history and wanting people to know about it and what I said that should happen.
Yeah, I mean, I have an animation business. I have a permit from Dublin City Council. I have insurance, which I have to pay for. Mm-hmm. There's a nominal, it's a €12 walk, and for that you also get a hot drink in the Olive Room Cafe and a Guinness voucher for the Pebble Beach. But you couldn't do it for free. I mean, there has
course,
to be something,
yeah.
You know. I mean, it's not a profit making. It's a reason for me to get out and walk in the park. I loved what Dublin City Council did in restoring all the follies. They put a lot of money into restoring all the follies that were in very bad repair over the past 20 years. They created a beautiful walkway around the park. They removed a lot of the bushes so mm-hmm. people can see into the park, and people in the park don't have to be nervous anymore and they can see out. So it has just opened up the park, and it just felt like, you know, with all this work, I just went, you know, somebody needs to do something here. And I approached Mick Harford, and he automatically said, go for it. Let's do this. It's a great idea. And been going since June, and we've had walking groups, scouts groups, all different types of family groups, people home who've emigrated back home, meeting their friends and going on the walk. And for me, it's great enjoyment for people to kind of go, oh, I didn't know that, or I've learned so much about the park. And as I said, Joan Sharkey did a great job in writing a fantastic book, and it's great for me to be able to walk around and tell that story as we visit the follies. And I also got about 24 pictures from the digital archives from Dublin City Council. So I'm able to tie in the tour with the old photographs, so we recreate what was there that is no longer there in certain aspects of the walk.
It's great. It's absolutely terrific. Congratulations on it. It's wonderful. It's long overdue. That's all I can say about it. So people can get all the details, and they should book ahead. And it's St. Anne's Park. St. Anne's Walk.com.
I mean, it's every Saturday at 2 o'clock. We meet outside the Olive Room, so you can just arrive up. And then midweek, Wednesday morning and Friday morning at 10 a.m. for those who are retired or are at home. So midweeks are lovely because the park is quieter. Saturday afternoon, a little bit busier, but it's still a great time at this time of the year. And I'm going to run some special walks over Christmas.
It's still in its infancy, Gerard. So I imagine as time goes on and the word gets around, you're going to get a lot of younger people or even parents saying to their kids, you need to know about this. Even after they've done it, they'll want to bring their kids.
Exactly, yeah. No, that has been the reaction. And it has gone viral. And a lot of the businesses from people recommending it to other family members or their friends to go and do it. And it's a great way for people to meet friends and connect, go for a walk together, and then go off and have a coffee or a beer or have lunch before you walk. It's great.
I spend, especially when my son comes home from, he lives in Madrid, and when he comes home around Christmas for a month, we spend nearly every second day, if not every day. So we'll bring him on the tour as well, though. I'm sure he knows most of it anyway. I look forward to that. Thanks very much, Gerard. Pleasure talking to you.
St.
Anne's Walk.com.
That's it. Thank you.
See you. Bye.